Good morning. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 12. Excuse me. Matthew, chapter 9, verses 12 through 13. Matthew, chapter 9, verses 12 through 13. As you're turning there, this passage of scriptures and the sentiment of the scripture you will find in other passages. A commentator to this particular passage that we're going to read to you this morning will actually reference it as coming from Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. And so those that participated in the Bible study might remember some of this today. But you also find similar sentiments and statements in 1 Samuel 15:22, Micah 6, 8. We're in Matthew 9:13, but it's also in some other places as well. So let's read to you from Matthew chapter 9, verses 12 through 13. But Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." As we look at that scripture, "I desire mercy and not sacrifice." Other places you might find that translated as obedience, if we were going to look in Hosea 6:6. Now, while it's my desire for you to walk deeper with God, it is the first desire that you first walk with God. This passage of scriptures and those like it informs us that our religiosity is not important as our relationship with God. You know, often we find in Scripture that God shares with us and talks about our relationships in marital terms. Christ coming for His bride. And if you read in the Old Testament, and those that have read in Hosea recently, he talks about when they go after other gods, they are committing adultery. Adultery, we know that it's someone that is in a marriage that they go and cheat on the marriage. So we're going to talk a little bit this morning in those contexts. I think that it will help us in understanding. We have been around, some of us enough, or most people would understand this, that our teenage years are above. That, of course, teenagers may not understand it, but we think about a relationship and we look at people that are trying to build a relationship. If they get too physical too fast, it's less likely to last. Because they don't even know if they like each other as an individual, if you know what I'm trying to say. The physical activity draws them towards each other biologically. But if there is nothing deeper, they will not even learn to love each other. You know, in those arranged marriages that you've heard about in past times, the phrase can be said they learned how to love each other. But if it's only physical and there's no larger desire there at all, I would find it difficult that they're even going to learn to love each other. But if a relationship is only a physical relationship, it's not really a relationship. Without that physicality, there's no relationship left. But at first there is a commitment, not the promise of a commitment, not the intent. You know, there was a phase, I remember, where they used to have promise rings. The promise rings that they were promising that someday they might ask them to get engaged or something, I guess. But we're not talking about a promise of a commitment. It's not somebody that's engaged. It's someone that's actually married. Then those physical activities after the marriage strengthen it, but there's got to be a relationship first. So we first have to have a commitment to God to actually have a relationship. You know, attending church may make you feel better, outside of a commitment to God. And people might go to a church and they might feel better. And sometimes they go to church just for a particular preacher or for particular singers. But it's almost like having a physical relationship. They're going for that feeling. And just like inside of marriage, the physical enhances and supports the marriage relationship, the physical activity. Going to church strengthens our relationship with God, but it does not replace it. It's similar to those relationships we would have with people that it's overtly physical. And so people come and go to church to feel better, but when they go to church and it's not to truly have a relationship with God, when they're challenged to go deeper, they feel the convicting of the Holy Spirit and makes them uncomfortable because they don't necessarily really desire a relationship with God, because when the conviction comes and they're challenged, they move away. In our relationships, they'll talk about a man has commitment issues. And so if he's asked to make a commitment, he shies away. Intimacy is more than physical. It's a deeper thing, and men and women might define it differently. But the intimacy that we want with God is something deeper. And so people that want a surface relationship will jump from woman to woman. There's no depth. They might say that they love them, but there's no depth. Some people will jump from church to church seeking the feeling. They're not seeking that depth in relationship with God. Because if you go into a church with a deep relationship with God, you're probably going to find a church that's going to fit what you need or where he's sending you. And he might send you someplace else, but you go where he's sending you versus where you go to feel well. Because sometimes the preacher is going to say something, especially if he's preaching the Word of God, that's going to make you feel uncomfortable. It's the conviction of the Holy Spirit, but your desire for a deeper relationship with God will want you to listen to it and go farther. See, coming to church strengthens our relationship with God if we have one. Now, we want people to come to church that don't know Christ so they might get saved. That's the first priority. But coming to church and the religious activity does not make you a Christian. And the feel-good that you have might wear off, and so you'll try to bounce to another church where you can have the feel-good. See, baptism does not save you. But baptism, as some might call it, a means of grace, but baptism strengthens you in your relationship with God. Taking communion does not save you, but taking communion enhances your relationship with God. There are some places that you might go to worship where baptism saves you. The other places you might go that taking communion is an act of salvation. But see, those are those religious activities. That sacrifice kind of thing in the Old Testament, was it something we should do as part of a relationship with God? Yes. But it's not a substitute for it. God wants to move past a physical relationship. Physical relationship, we know what that means when we talk about a man and a woman, but God wants us to move past a physical relationship in that we do acts of worship in a religious method. It means that we don't do what we want all week long and then go in and get absolved of the sin that we did during the week only to go back and do it again the next week. We don't come and go through a religious activity, take communion each week, or whatever activity might be, that then permits us to continue on the path that we were before. God wants us to be in a place of following Him, meaning that we have first need to repent. We need to, that word's linked to the concept of marching and about face. We were going down our own path, a path away from God, and now we turn towards God. And in turning towards God, we've decided we've made a commitment to God. When we pray the sinner's prayer that I've led some in here in this church or in other parts outside the church, we say things like, "Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. Please forgive me. I'm acknowledging I'm on the wrong path." Then we would say, "I want to follow you. Help me to follow you." Meaning, I'm not following you now, but I want to start. I'm repenting. I'm changing paths. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for saving me. And then we would end it in Jesus' name. Amen. That's the simple sinner's prayer, but see, it involves acknowledging I'm wrong, I'm going the wrong way, and repenting and turning towards God. I've made that commitment. It's much like in a marriage situation, you make that commitment. Now you move towards the activities that remind us of our commitment, enforce our commitment. The physical reinforces those things in a marriage, but outside of a relationship with God, they don't mean the same thing. And people might say, "Well, I go to this church because it makes me feel good." But would you want a momentary feel good that it feels good to go to the church and when you leave, nothing goes with you? We want a deeper relationship where God is part of our lives. There's an intimacy, and it's a growing intimacy. Just like a marriage grows in intimacy in the sense that it's a deeper knowledge. You know, you get to the point when you've been married a while, especially if it's a godly marriage, that you pretty much know where they're at and probably what they're thinking and probably what they're going to say, and your decisions and things, you start thinking more similarly in the approach to things. You're not carbon copies of each other, but you tend to know where they're at. You know them in a deeper way as time passes. And see, God wants that. Remember, he talks about his relationship with us in marital terms. He wants that deeper, intimate relationship so that we take on the mind of Christ. We understand when people say, "What would Jesus do?" I often say, "I am not Jesus. I can't do. He's my example. And I need to follow that example, but I can't do all the things that he did. I need to do what he wants me to do. What would Jesus have me do?" And I can understand him more and more as I walk with him more and more. And the baptism and the communion and the coming to church enhances that relationship, but it does not replace it. We have to start out in the right place with God. Otherwise, we have this fleeting relationship with no depth. We can't pretend. You know how guys will pretend and say the things that they want to say in order to get what they want in a man-woman kind of relationship. They'll pretend. Some people pretend so that they can get that feel good. Some people pretend so that they'll think people will think they're cool, or they'll pretend. God wants more than a pretend. He wants something deeper. Hopefully you do not have the kind of relationship with God when it's only when you're coming to church. Hopefully God's not like that standby boyfriend. Now, some of you can relate, and maybe some of you can't. I have been that. I don't know if they've ever considered me the boyfriend, but I was the one. I've been the one where if they couldn't find anybody better, that they would go out with me. I'm the one they called if there was the main person wasn't available. That's your standby guy. And ladies think they're doing a favor by just tagging him along. They'd be ready better just to say, "I'm not interested," and cut him off. But they just lead him along, and some people just want to lead it along and just kind of prepare, pretend. They only need God when they're in trouble. They only need God when they like what the preacher's saying. They don't really want a relationship. They just want to feel good. Or they want people to feel good about them. Or they want to go to the clique, so it's where the cool youth group's at, or it's where the cool whatever group is at, and they got the cool stuff. They're not looking for a relationship with God. They want the peripheral. It's just like those boys, those men, say whatever they can just to get what they think they want. Shallow. See, my desire is that you have a relationship with God. It's not just that, yes, we would like to see you in church, to the end that you have a relationship with God. We'd like to see you in church that you have a stronger relationship with God. We'd like to see you in church so that you're able to be an influence, salt and light, to the rest of the world. I'd like to have you in church so you can learn to talk to others about Jesus. I'd like to have you in church so you can bring others to Jesus. I'd like to have you in church so you can learn how to minister. Church isn't a concert to come to. It should be a place of worship. Yeah, you can go to concerts, but Sunday morning should be a place we come and worship, a place where we feel good together because of our relationship with God. And for those that aren't Christians, you shouldn't feel comfortable. You should feel like, "I want that. I don't have that." You know, jumping up and down and running around and standing up for a half an hour, singing over and over again, doesn't mean that you have a relationship with God. People can work themselves into a frenzy. But I want a relationship, and I want you to have a relationship with God that's such that as I go through the week, and when the times are good, He's there. When the times are bad, He's there, and I can depend on Him in all those times. And in the midst of the trials, and the midst of the problems, we become closer. You know, when a family goes on a vacation, and they have issues, and there's challenges, and they butt heads a little bit, after the vacation, they're actually closer. Because they've went through a little bit of something together. They've went through a little bit of challenge together. They learned to trust on each other. Just like men and women in the army or in their boot camp or whatever they do, they learn to rely on each other. In our marriages, we learn to rely on each other. In our relationship with God, we want to get to the point that we rely on Him. And then we can bear each other's burdens. Because we're just not feel good. We're not surface kind of relationships. But there's a depth. There's a meaning. And we come to church to reinforce it. Not in place of it. So as we read this scripture again. Chapter 9, verse 12 of Matthew. When Jesus heard that, He said to them, "Those who are well here have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice." The word again could be obedience or something like that. "I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I do not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance." Let's not be living a life that we're just going through the motions. That it's just not a surface relationship. That when we say "I love you" to Jesus, it actually means something. There's a depth to it. It's just not some card you toss to somebody on a particular holiday. On Valentine's Day, "Oh, there you go, I love you," whatever. It means something. It means something. So where are you on your walk with God? Are you having a relationship with God? Is it a deepening relationship with God? A depth that's there. Do you think about God on other days instead of just Sunday? Let's have a meaningful, deeper relationship with God. That's what I desire for you. First, that you have a relationship, and then it's ever deepening. Let's be standing together. Father God, I thank You for Your Word. And I pray that each one that hears this message might desire that intimate, deep relationship with You. Not something that's just a Sunday feel good. But as we meet the challenges of life, as You walk through life with us together, that we might grow deeper in love with You. We might trust You more. We might care more. That we might understand You more. We might know how You're going to approach things. How You want to approach us. And how You can help us bear our burdens. And understand Your desire for our life. May we be in a committed relationship with You. Not just something surface, but something deep. We pray, Father, that You'd help us in our paths. Guide us in what we need to do to enhance our relationship with You. And if we don't have one with You, the Lord, that we might pray that sinner's prayer. "Lord, I'm sorry for the bad that I've done. Please forgive me. I want to follow You. Help me to follow You. Thank You for dying on the cross for me. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." And may that be our prayer. If we don't know You, and if we know You, oh Lord, deeper in the love of Jesus, daily may I go. Help us to hear from You and be obedient. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.